Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and I haven't figured out how to clue, anyway, I'm sorry I abruptly turned off the music. I love that little music. Actually, I found it's like a free music for podcasts and blog stuff. Anyway, welcome to episode actually 13, which I turn into a 4, 1 plus 3 for those who have issues with adding like I do most of the time, but I just knew that number. Anyway, welcome to episode 13 of Looking for My Give a Fuck. No, I say it usually like this. Looking for My Give a Fuck. Because it's a nice give a fuck. It's not a bad give a fuck. Hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. Good morning or afternoon or whenever you might be hearing this in the archives. Wow, last week I didn't do the show. I was going to do the show on the road, and I thought that wouldn't be fair because I thought that, I couldn't get everything out. I was driving, and I might do it at some point again, but last week I didn't. I had a lot on my mind, just like I do this week. Wow, there's so much I want to talk about. But anyway, for all of you who might be new to the show or just listening for the first time, you probably wonder, what is Looking for My Give a Fuck about? Well, again, I would love everyone to listen to the first episode, how it came apart, probably Freudian slip, right, came apart, how it came about, conversation with mother and my older brother, Jay, and they were totally going against me on whatever, I think it had to do with liberal and conservatism, and they were killing me softly, dude. I mean, killing me. There's nothing I can say because they're brilliant. So I started looking on their table. And my brother's like, what are you doing? I'm like, looking for my give a fuck. And that's really where it came about. But moreover, at the same time, my brother also gave me this book to read. And he said, I think you would really like this. I think you're at this point in your life where, your spiritual and your sarcasm and your legalism, all that's all mixed up. But there's some good that's kind of like coming from your growth. And so I really think you would like the book called The Power of Now. The book now is A New World. Excuse me, A New Earth. What is wrong with me? I'm making up stuff, right? And it's by Eckhart Tolle, which I love. I recommend it to everyone. If you don't know about the New Earth, A New Earth, you can also look at The Power of Now. But more importantly, what I liked about this book, and what I liked that my brother presented it to me, because he said, look at your ego. We talked about this and how it creates dysfunctions in your life, such as anger, jealousy, so on and so forth. And I have been looking into myself for years. And I've tried everything. I tried meditation. I tried thought processes. I thought, listening to particular people. Oh, counseling for sure. And everyone was saying, find yourself. Who are you? Be you. You got this. You can do this. You're strong. That meant a lot. And I do believe I'm all those things, but it didn't give me any, and I'm from the world. I need some tangible ability to search and become better. People use the Bible. Others, I use angels, but angels went to tangibility. So what happened with this book is kind of like every time you have a reaction to something, check it out. Check out where it came from. And boy, since I started to do that, I realize I have some preconceived notions about everything that probably didn't come from me initially. It was probably picked up from family, from culture, from environment, profession. What if it didn't matter? But the ones that I wanted to change, I felt I have the power now to acknowledge, greet, talk to them, find out where do they come from? and then decide to work in changing it. Because I do need to add this. Working on change is it's monumental. Just as you're shifting your personal behavior, let's say, in the profession, you also began to change your personal behavior in self, in relationships, and even relationships with family. Things start to shift, and they get a little heavy. Because things that you weren't aware of that you may have wanted to say or express or share with family especially, it becomes real like, no, I want to know. And when we get to the parts of knowing how we have, you know, default actions, inactions, we might say, well, our parents were terrible. How could they have done that to us? Well, I have to keep in mind that they have the same tools that I have. If probably not even as many as I have, because I'm sure between our parents and grandparents and so forth, their duties were to mind and do as you, you know, as it, do as you're told, not as you, fuck, you guys know what I'm talking about. And the bottom line is there's no way I could go and be upset with my mother because I felt now that I am growing that she should have shared something with me. Because maybe at that time, she did not even understand the significance of it. So I say that all to say, sometimes when you're growing, and a lot of people will say, go to that source and figure it out. I'm gonna say to you, sometimes that source is heavy, real heavy. And where is it written you have to go to that source by yourself? I have a favorite cousin. Sorry. You guys know that Yvonne is my favorite. No, I do have a cousin I'm very close with. We are completely opposite of a lot of things. But she can cook. Oh, my God. I've never seen a woman that can cook like that. It's the sexiest thing I've ever seen. And he got upset. I think I've shared this on the show when I put oil in her nonstick pan. But we are both on this journey, individual journey. But it does involve our families. Her mom and my mom are sisters, and our families are completely different. No, not in a bad way. Of how we deal with things, how we do things, how we think about relationships. My cousin's very dedicated to understanding and being there for a significant other, where I'm like, I'm out. You don't ask me about my American Express card. I'm leaving. Big Quan, by the way. You know, so, but at the end of the day, when I could sit down and speak with my cousin, we both came from the same tree. And we start kind of vibing like, where did you get this from? Where did you get that from? And there are times I'm like, I didn't know Grandma Shirley said that, which is my, you know, I'm named after Grandma Shirley, but, you know, my cousin has her grandma from her dad is Granny, right? Two different, you know, whole different things, whatever. But Granny shared her things and Grandma Shirley shared with her. And it's so funny because I didn't get a lot of Granny. That's why I can't cook. Well, Grandma liked to cook a little. Okay, I'm not going to get any more trouble with that. But the bottom line is, as we started talking, we started realizing, and we still did to this very day, I think we're trying to get together, we're realizing that a lot of our limitations inadvertently came from just this family. And why does that happen? I don't know. But I know one damn thing, figuring it out and then go pointing fingers and talking about this and that is not going to be healthy. It's the shift. I do have to say this about my family, and then I have to honor someone on this show that's so important to me, that's been heavy on my heart for years, actually. My family is probably, when it comes to being beautiful, Lena Horne and Billy Dee Williams put together. I mean, da-da-da-da, and then my dad, of course, super handsome. The intelligence is off the chart. The internal spirituality of how they can feel when things are going to happen or not happen is just, it's just unexplainable. To be honest, I am probably the least intelligent one in the family, but I carry extra balls, so I do things like that. So I want to take time to tell my family, the Bakers, the Favors, Browns, and everyone else that's up there, the whiter it gets and the darker it gets, I am extremely proud of being a part of this family. But I bestow, made up a word, but I hope my family the ones that have the heart could speak, because the intelligence is constantly within our small world. But the world needs to hear your voice and your research and your understanding. I speak from heart. I have no research sense of anything. So I just want to share that with my family, my beautiful, beautiful family. I love you guys. Whew, hold on, I need a little drink of my, what should I call it, coffee? Yeah, there you go. I also, as you know, this show, sometimes we merge into this other passion I have, which is called Legally in Order, and it's a three-step process to help new attorneys or attorneys who are in the process to really set up their law firms. A lot of times when I started, Get Her Done worked. And so as I've been talking about, the three C's, my morning angels, sorry, I always have to hear those, 111. So I came up with, you have to get a niche, practice and procedures, and, you know, you have to, you know, have a your profit or prosperity. What does it look like? Let's lay this foundation down so that you can get in and out of the legal profession if you want to. And I've worked for, you know, I don't even know if I should brag anymore about it. I work for a lot of people. And I did not know that my growth, I don't want to call it wokeness, because that wouldn't be fair. It was more than that. A professional, personal, spiritual awakening of awareness, awakening of my awareness, began when I started working for an attorney by the name of Ken Meyer. I did tell him I was going to say his name on the show. And as I think about how Legally in Order and what my passion is about to give new attorneys or people that are, you know, giving their law firm a stance and a purpose, I'm like, where did I get this from? Well, I focus Legally in Order on all the negative experiences I have had working in law office. And there are some negative ones. I'm telling you guys, I had like 47. I didn't get fired. I walked out, okay? That's because I was chicken shit. That's okay. We'll talk about that another day. But Mr. Meyer, I walked into his law firm in Culver City. And you guys all know Culver City proper. They're one-story building, maybe even two-story. His was on the first floor. As I take myself there for a moment to explain this, it is saddened how I walked into that office and didn't even acknowledge the energy. It was a job. I knew something was different, but I didn't know I was walking into change. A change that wouldn't develop until, I would say, about 5-6 years ago. A change that was seeded into my spirit, my soul, the thing that I have been detached from for years. I walk in and Mr. Myers, I can't remember, I call him Ken, he interviewed me and I'm always good. I know what I'm good at what I do. But I think when he kind of looked at me, he's like, well, anyone could do this job. It's like, I think it was /legal secretary receptionist. It was just, you know, Ken and I in the office and then a bookkeeper. That's why my practice and procedure part two always says have a great bookkeeper. Because she came in every month. But I walked into this office and there was a fountain. Can you imagine walking in a law firm and you hear water? It was beautiful. The decor was inviting, yet very, I'm in command. But come on in. You would see me when you walked into office, whoever sat at that first desk, and it was properly set up to where when a person came to the desk, they did not look down on me. They looked at me, which was huge. Which I didn't recognize. And there was a protection part of it so that, you know, you couldn't see my information. When Mr. Meyer asked me to send some really great, great attorneys today, actually, in his office, because I think he worked, we represented some people in the city, but that's not the greatest thing here. I know we had a small kitchen, just me and kitchens, you know, they just go away. They were invited to share some great green tea, some great green tea cups. Mr. Meyer's office was large, and his desk faced, I don't know, north, south, east, or west, but the bottom line is that when you walked in his door of his office, there, if you go straight, you know, past the door, past his desk, there's these beautiful, I don't know what the doors are called, but they were doors that would open to the outside. We could hear the birds. Take a minute, hear the birds. And I think when people got into that space, they were very comfortable. Legally in order, wait, let me go back. Mr. Meyer also taught me practices and procedures. He taught me, again, a lot of jobs I had, please don't make it seem like he was my first employer. No, but they didn't have practice and procedures that flow, such as he would give the things he would put on his desk on the left would be go, I think, in or out. There was an in and out process. Or outer in process, I can't quite remember, it was been that long ago, but when he would give me a tape, dictation, whatever it would be, there was a procedure how I got it back to him and how we got it out and how it was printed on different colored paper, and if mistakes were had, how he discussed it with me, talked to me. There were times I wasn't mentally able to understand, and maybe I was that defensive, like, you can't tell me what to do. I am a black woman. I'm sure that came out because that's just the personality that sometimes slips out or comes out purposely, whatever the case may be. In addition to that, Mr. Meyer was also into what people are trying to grasp on today, spirituality, health of body, friendships, care, laughter. And there were no lines whatsoever. I do believe Mr. Meyer, Ken, sometimes when I want to say stuff, I respect him so much. And then when I say Ken, it sounds like there's no respect, but you know, I love you. At the time working with him, I didn't know the difference between the Jewish people or the Muslims. That was not my, I wasn't around people that were of different religions, and nor did I probably care because I did not have a problem with the Bible, okay? But he never, ever threw that upon me at all. We just would share great stories. Oh, wait a minute. I also, he played music. He was a musician of some type. Not some type. I'm just not sure all the things that he could play. And when some of the black clients would come in, because again, we did represent, he did represent the city, some portion of the city of Culver City. It was a welcoming thing. It wasn't like, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I have been approached or have to approach someone of the Jewish faith, and sorry, I have said the word Jew wrong or something, and I'm not being disrespectful to the Jewish faith or the Jewish people, please, I want to make sure that's right, only for Mr. Meyer. Because he deserves it to be correct, and others, but this is my conversation to him. I remember different colored people walking in that office. And I never, ever felt a difference. I never, ever felt a Jewish person would come in and treat me any less than, you know, the chief of police or the chief of the fire department, whoever. It was like it was automatic when you walked in that office if something happened to you. Something shifted in your body. An extraordinary thing happened when I was working with this Mr. Meyer. One of the girls I went to law school with passed the bar. And I was so excited because I thought, you know, you could be an attorney. I could work for you as a paralegal. And he told me, I'm not allowed to work with non-attorneys. And then he told me this in the courtyard of Ken's office, outside his beautiful courtyard. And our friendship ended that day. And I'm sure because I was an emotional creature, female, you know, and the bar and the law is an important thing, I'm sure it said something to him. But whatever I may have said, the lesson there was I didn't give up. So even just being in that environment, when someone tells you something like, I can't be your friend after I helped her get into another law school and she fell out, yeah, whatever, whatever. There was something about going back into that office and sitting with it. Then I left and life continued. But I didn't realize that everywhere I went, I was looking for that waterfall. I was looking for that structure. I was looking for that sense of care. I was looking for that individual line of, there was no color. It was just surely, can do it right or do it right. And I want to thank him personally for being one of the first people, especially in a profession that I've worked in for so long, to show me that this can be done differently. You do not have to work in the legal profession and be, or any field, and not have it relate to what you are or who you are. That was the key. You take my three P's, pick a niche, practice and procedures, process and all that, and prosperity, and what comes to play is Mr. Meyer said, I am going to be an attorney the way I want to feel good. I'm not sure what he's doing now. But I bet you had an exit plan because he sure did have a procedure plan. And when he walked in that office consumed the appropriate energy for us to work hard and still feel good about what we're doing. Unconsciously, remember, I was ignorant to conscious awareness of energy and so on and so forth. And for him, it's so funny, for him to bring me into that office knowing, only this is when you get older, knowing I was ignorant too, but he knew my spirit and my soul would use it. Thank you again, Ken. And I can't wait to have lunch with you so I can just honor you. There are other people in my life that have done the same thing, and I didn't ask you that person's name so I can use it, but who said to me, hey, listen, your emotions are respectable, but they don't belong here. Well, what do you mean? Every decision, every thought process cannot come with emotions because it makes things inconsistent. And your inconsistency takes away from your greatness. That person knows who he is if he's listening. So, oh my God. Oh, there was another thing my older brother, Jay, said. Jay said to me, it was my son's 33rd birthday. Good numbers, right? And I left this beautiful message for my child that all parents who think you raise your children, revisit. Please revisit. Children, if you are listening and if you're open and if you understand the recreation and growth of life, to what I just understood recently, mind you, raise us. They are not a reflection of us. They raise us. And as we believe we are getting higher and higher and higher so they can be better than us, they raise us and then they just go a little higher. My son knew my darkness before he was old enough to spell darkness. He held my hand and fed me when I said I wasn't hungry. And you're like, what does that mean? That's between my son and I. But our children raise us when we let them be who they are. Through the hard times, when he was 13, I had to sock him up. Bam, 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 bam. Through the 18 and 20 when he stopped talking to me. And 5 years ago, and he said, Mom, let's talk. Because there's some things that you did when I was growing up that I didn't feel good about. And let me tell you something, parents, when a child comes to you and says that, just listen. Because at that time, I'm like, I'm sorry, and you know, while you're still breathing, can you imagine a mother telling a child that when he's really trying to say, I just want you to hear me, But I'm thinking, you breathe in, you've been exposed to law school, you're great, you got this, you got that. It has nothing to do with that, right? That was my ego. So children raise parents as parents begin to understand the default in their minds and their thought process, which are not bad. They just are. And sometimes they can be so overwhelming that inadvertently the next generation takes them up. Hell, I got all the good grandma and granny stuff and Uncle Sonny and my daddy and Grandpa Joe. I got all the good stuff. Bring in the good stuff. Bring it in. Because I wouldn't be here doing the show if I didn't have the good stuff. But there's also some bad stuff that I accepted, that I stopped with my child. I really did, not knowing what I was doing. But I say that to say, so we have a child that raised me when I thought the world was against me after his father and I separated, right? Then I have a really good friend that says to me, hey, get the emotions out the way. I got you. You're the smartest person in the world. Again, I came to grips with understanding that a year ago. Then, it's been on my heart, but I couldn't feel it. It was like, surely you, the seed of you helping people through legally in order came from Ken Meyer. A Jewish person, people. A Jewish. Now, does that really matter? No. That's what I'm getting at here. At some point, if we could possibly get away from Juji and sit in people's energy and learn, even if you don't realize you're learning from the moment, your seeds are planted by all good people. All good people, no matter what color, what race, what creed, whatever. And seeds are planted by bad people. You decide what seeds you want to throw back up. But if you ever get an opportunity, oh wait, I was going back to say something really quick about my brother. My brother, when we were talking, he said, you know, to be 56 wasn't easy. You ain't no dummy if you got to 56. And we exclude things like accidents and you know, all those things. But to be 56 and still be sane and still trying and still growing ain't no dummy. So all of us that are still here, and it don't seem like it's working together and the pizzas are all fucked off, we're still here. We ain't no punks, as he would say. He says, sis, you ain't no punk. I knew that. No, I'm just joking. What am I trying to say? I'm bringing this home, you guys. I found this book that helped me. It's called The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. That helps me take my constant just, you know, inadvertent responses to everything. And now I pull back. And as I'm pulling back, I'm becoming so appreciative to all the people that could see me when I couldn't see me, when I locked myself into a box and I thought I covered it all up. They were like, oh, that's so cute. You know, it's like, come on, Shirley. I got 90 seconds. Come on, Shirley. I don't know how long you'll be here, but you're going to need this. And again, I thank him. King, I don't know how long you're going to realize your emotions are your greatest asset and could hinder your growth. But when you put those together, you'll be awesome. I have other people that are like, Shirley, you know, legally in order for law firms, but can you help me? I'm like, oh my God, I'm out of my comfort zone, but yes, I can. Yes, I can. I have 60 seconds. I want everyone to reflect back to all those people who were just in your life, even the bad ones if you need to, but the ones that are planting a seed and we're still standing here. That seed grew and we're still here. We're still fighting. I'm still doing great shows to have fun. I'm still thanking people. Keep doing that if we possibly can. Okay, you guys, I liked the show. That was good for me. I hope you guys liked it. Well, until next week, I'm about to sign off. But before I do that, I'm telling you guys all, make good, great memories, plant seeds, and go visit people that planted seeds within you and before you even realized it. Whatever it may be, you have a great week, and I'm looking looking forward to come back next week and share more information. Until then, love, love, love.